Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who love to bring our love of astrology and our understanding and our fascination with it to you, the public. Later on in the evening, we'll ask you to call in with any questions that you may have. And if we have any questions from during the week, we can definitely take those. We often people email in to us. We answer them on the radio, and you can then download the podcast later on during the week. Tonight, this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And Mark Wolf, I gather, is en route back from the big astrology powwow in Boston. And Anne, you just arrived back from there, didn't you?
I did. I got in late last night. I had I was up there for the week in Boston. It was lovely. The foundation of America, where we originally were founded. They always, everything was like, well, this is what we did. This we did this. It was very cool. They're very proud of their role in founding the country. So it was good, and the astrology was excellent. I learned all sorts of very cool things. And Mark had a board meeting today, so he's moseying back. He may join us by phone if he gets a signal on the bus. So we'll see if he calls in. So.
And you, Anne, are Anne Ortley.
I am Anne Ortley, all right, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. Last week I was at my bright black desk in Boston, I'm an astrologer in New York. And Heather and I and Mark, let's do a little history. I think it's a good time for a history lesson as Mars stationing. Mm-hmm. Heather moved to New York, and she was like, how come you guys don't have anybody talking about astrology here? You know, I'm coming from... where were you? Santa Fe. And Santa Fe has stuff, and people show up for it. And so she went around and kind of asked a bunch of different people. And Mark said, you know, you're right. We should have an astrology thing. And then they asked me to join, which was really fun because, you know, it was very cool, and I've had a great time. And it was Heather's idea. So, and then because she moved away on us, because she got her degree, and Jamie was the trailing spouse, and then she graduated, and then he moved for work, and so then she's the trailing spouse. So we thought, well, we can get Heather involved in the radio, even though she doesn't live with us anymore. And so now we do these weekly podcasts. So the whole idea is to bring astrology on a bigger forum even to more and more people. We have a couple hundred listeners every show, not all direct. A lot of you are download podcasts. So tell your friends. Spread the word. Tell everybody about Access Astrology and Heather's great idea.
Because when I in Santa Fe, the astrologers talk to the public, and much of the public becomes more and more well informed and uses it in their daily business, whether they're run a business, whether they're gardening, whether they're working in the hospital or a lawyer. In New York, astrologers talk to each other, which is delightful. It's wonderful to run into astrologers and talk your own language, but astrologers talk to themselves, and they don't really believe that you can bring, or not many of them do, astrology to the public and keep it at high-level, good-quality astrology. But I believe that our public is able to work with us on that level, and that we use direct language, that we can share a language, and we can share real-quality astrology, high-level, with the public, and make it relevant and available. Now, there's a whole other level of astrology when you're looking at someone's specific chart and you're getting into details of the symbolism in their language. So when we talk about the astrology of the moment, the astrology of the big patterns, that is fascinating, and it is high-level astrology. There is a different level of the work, different level of detail that's done if an astrologer sits down with a personal chart. Wouldn't you say so, Em?
Yeah, totally. But they all reflect, you know, I mean, they all reflect the various times. Because whether you're an individual going through the transit or you are a country or a world, you're going to see the transits talked about by the people. So right now, Heather and I were talking, you know, we always chat like briefly before we start the show about what we're going to cover. And one of the things was there's a lot of planets in Pisces. So Pisces is a sign, it's the sign of the ocean, it's the sign of the water. It's also the sign of endings and releases. And it's literally fluid, you know, lots of fluid. Its oceans are big and fluid. So she was saying, well, say what you were saying. I don't want to,
I was saying that so many people are calling to me and saying they feel awash, overwhelmed, flooded, swamped, underwater. And all of those metaphors speak of the collective ocean that we're feeling with Uranus, Venus, the Sun, Jupiter, and Mercury all lined up in Pisces right now.
Right. So think of it. Five planets out of ten in the sign of water. And we've had a lot of water, a lot of rain. We've had a lot of flooding. That's also Pisces.
Biggest snow
ever. We had
ever
a tsunami.
New York.
Biggest snow ever in New York.
But I think the tsunami was a really important metaphor. I mean, the earthquake. Yeah, and we've been expecting a lot of earthquakes last year, this year, and next year. And I think they're going to continue as Saturn opposes Uranus. Saturn, which is, you know, solidness and tectonic plates structure. Opposes Uranus, the planet of change, and they both come to square Pluto. It's a cycle of breaking down old structures, including tectonic plates, and letting them shift and move to create something in the future. And the image we've been talking about in our own lives is where the tectonic plates are moving quickly, and lots of little earthquakes
are happening in your life.
Tension doesn't build up, and their work in all of our lives, you know, whatever our life is, making lots of, you know, little changes. It doesn't have to wait for the big earthquake.
Right.
But where it doesn't, sometimes we're having some big earthquakes, and that's going to keep going on, you know, for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, the image of the tsunami where you had warnings go out and waves go across, but nowhere near as bad as they thought it was going to be. That when people are feeling awash, what I'm also hearing is that their life isn't doing too badly right now. The Sun just is conjunct Jupiter. There's a fair amount of luck and support and guidance, even while we're feeling awash and overwhelmed. That one of the things we're awash in is spirit, is intuition, is the care from the people around us, for people who love us. And to notice that the wave may become, maybe the tsunami that's taking us is really only 3 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. And that's a gentle wave instead of a killer, killer whatchahoosie, knock you out and blow, wash away the village tsunami.
Did you see last night's full moon?
I did not, no. I went to bed. I was tired.
I
did see it the night before, and it was very, you know, before it was full, when I was in Boston, it was beautiful.
I was driving back from Big North Dakota, the geographic center of the Northeast continent, over a very flat plain just as this moon rose, and I couldn't figure out what it was. I thought it was a lit-up water tower. It was so huge. It glowed like the biggest pumpkin you've ever seen. When it got up to the sky, it just looked like a full moon. But sitting on that horizon, I've never seen it so big. And it was a full moon in Virgo, which can be kind of self-evaluating, self-critical, you know, healing. But, you know, what is it that needs fixing? I'm very focused on that. The other side of Pisces is that Virgo structure. And often what can help us when we're feeling awash and all that Pisces is to tend to our work, our structure, to organize our sock drawer, to do something that allows us to have a sense of order, because they can help that the Virgo polarity can help us deal with feeling overwhelmed and awash.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hearing also people, you know, my whole house is a mess, but I organized my closet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it made you feel better, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You said,
a closet makes me feel better. Yes, it does, because it's clean and organized.
A few minutes of organizing helps them organize their thoughts when they're feeling overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they actually organize the closet.
Yeah.
The effort.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I know whenever, I am a Virgo, so whenever I am feeling overwhelmed, I organize or clean. And both of those activities ground me, because there's something about the ritualistic structure of it that lets you settle in. And that is also part of what the energy is about now, because there are a lot of planets in Pisces. So Pisces can bring up the feeling of chaos or feeling that things are very running out of control. And so if you can do a little structural organizing or structural reframing, it'll make it feel like it calms down a little bit too. Gives it a little, gives the universe a little something to work with, and you say, okay, yeah, I cleaned the house. Okay, it feels better. Yay! You know, dance off into happiness because the house is clean. But I think the week also features Mars stopping. Mars has been retrograde since December 20th. It entered Leo in October 15th, and it leaves Leo on June 7th. So we had a very long run with Mars. This happens about every 18 months. Now, Mars is a planet.
He's kind of stayed his own sign.
He spends a long time in one sign. And normally he whips through the other signs, you know, whips through the other 11 signs in 17 months. So he spends a month, month and a half in a sign. But he has spent 7 or 8 months he's going to be spending in this Leo. And what the story is now, from last summer's back up, or from last fall's back up, asking you to look at it and say any changes you want. Mars is stopping, and he's also giving you the opportunity to revise, revisit, redirect. And he's also going to be asking you to look at your anger issues or your frustration issues. Whenever he stops in the sky, we don't feel like we can take action. So right before this call, I had a reading with a woman, and she was like, I need something to move. And she, of course, has a moon in Aries. I need something to move. Mars rules the Aries moon. And she said, I'm feeling so blocked. And I know Mars is retrograde, but I'm like, right. What you want to do is pay attention to all the places you're feeling irritated. Note them. And then once Mars goes direct, set about changing them. Because right now, it's not happening. She's waiting on a promotion. She's waiting on a guy. She's waiting. Mars is stationing. And Moon in Aries, Moon in Aries doesn't normally wait very well. So, but it also, we're all feeling that. So if you're feeling irritated, angry, a little frustrated, just kind of note what it is, because that's the area that Mars is restless to fix once he starts moving forward again on March 10th. But the tension can build a little bit this week. So. Mm-hmm. And he also forms the finger of God with Mercury and Saturn. Okay, Mercury is the apex of the finger. And Mercury, whenever we have a finger of God, it usually brings up choices. The universe says to us, we need you to make a choice now. And it's like picking the color of ice cream you want to eat, but it's usually a little more faded, meaning that it's a bigger choice than just ice cream. But the idea is you're picking a direction, you're picking a calling, or sometimes you get information. You know, I've had one client who has been out of work, and popped 3 jobs this week, you know, and doesn't know which one to take on the 10th because they all wanted to start on the 15th or whatever that Monday is. Okay. She's like, which one do I take? I'm like, oh, I don't know, you know, like, which one makes you happy? And they all feed different parts of her. So I said, well, you need to sit quietly and think about which one you really want, you know. So, but, yeah, it's that kind of energy.
Yeah, that's that Sun Jupiter that suddenly where there was 0, now there's 3.
Now there's 3.
That there's and that we may have, and it's very hard to make a choice with all these planets in Pisces.
Mm-hmm. And Mercury now, too, because Mercury.
What day? Yes.
Yes.
And when does Mars go? Mars is stationed now, but when does it go direct?
It goes direct on the 10th, and then it leaves Leo the 10th of May, March rather. And then it leaves Leo on the 7th of June. So we're going to go back again over the path that it's been in since October. So part 3 coming up now.
And before that, a week from now, as Venus heads into Aries and trines that Mars, you're going to have this Venus. Suddenly we're going from water, feeling sort of overwhelmed and what do I do, to Venus goes into Aries, trine Mars, and you know, our minds still won't know what to do, but our hearts will make a very clear decision. No, I don't want to do that. Yes, I do want to do this. So, if you can wait, if you've got a tough decision, it's hard to make right now with Mars station. As Mars gets ready to turn direct and as Venus heads into Aries, your heart will make it very clear that it wants to do something and does not want to do something else. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Venus in Aries reminds us that if we can line ourselves up with that inner emotional stream, with that inner emotional direction, then magic happens. But if we try to talk ourselves into doing, to being good and doing something that we should do, but it's not what we really want, it will be a disaster against the stars, which is a literal translation of disaster. So watch how much that kind of oomph begins, because we're moving out of Pisces, and into Aries season as first Venus and then the Sun and Mercury head into Aries and be much more decisive, responsive, proactive within a month. But right now, it's how do we feel and just acknowledging emotions.
Right.
Positive, negative, in between, all of the above.
Yeah. You don't have to do anything with them, but you have to notice them. And one of the things that happens with the retrograde planet is it feels like the expression of them is blocked, that on some level you can't take the action you want to take. So I had one person, you know, call and, you know, basically it's job offer, not in a place she really wants to go, but she hates where she is, back into the pot. And I'm like, well, you know, what's your vision for what you want? Well, I don't really want any of them. Okay, so that's good. So keep looking. You know, like you don't have to take, you know what I mean? But you're feeling almost the sense of you have to do something because you can't stand it anymore. And know once Mars goes direct that there'll be a lot more stuff flying around because there's an opportunity to reposition and get into the space you want to be in. So don't feel just like you absolutely have, this is the last chance you're ever going to have. No one's ever going to want you again. It's like, no. You know, I had somebody say to me, well, you know, I'm 50 years old and I may not ever find another job. And I'm like, well, that's a little optimistic, you know. Yeah, there's lots of work out there. Let's find you something that you like. And but we're feeling that sense of age and not being active enough and not being good enough and not being able to whatever enough. And that's all Mars stopping. So it is a feeling. We don't want to invalidate the feeling, but we do want to say it's not necessarily reality. It's the feeling you're having of the feeling of urgency that you're having is part of this energy, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be there forever. And in fact, once Mars stations, you'll feel much, much better. You'll feel like there's been this huge weight lifted off your shoulder. And we don't normally have the planet of inaction. He only does this every couple of years. So it's not like we do this. Like Mercury retrograde, we're used to. Okay, communications 3-4 times a year for 3 weeks. This is a biggie, and it's a long 80 days, man, that he's retrograde for. So,
Anne, what is the number that people should call in if they happen to be live?
The number that people can call in is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. So feel free to call if you have any questions.
And I got an email note on Facebook from Annie in New York. Hi, Annie, if you're out there, about a baby that was born today, but I didn't get the time and place of where the baby was born. So she could call in with that. It would be great. And then we can talk about the future of this little baby that was born today.
Oh, cool. Okay. Welcome to Earth.
Yeah.
You're going
to
have fun.
Welcome to Earth. And if there's no caller on the line, let's talk about what's happening in the week ahead.
Okay. Well, there is a caller on the line, but I think we should talk about the week ahead because, you know, once we pick up the callers, then we never stop talking. All right.
Right.
So 718-295, we do see you, but we're going to do the weather and then we'll pick you up. All right. So the week ahead, all three moons this week have nice closing aspects. So we're working with the Virgo moon right now. And the closing aspect is a nice, positive, friendly little friendly little opposition to Uranus. So it's about freedom and setting yourself free and breaking free. Went into Libra tonight around 7:30. Mm-hmm. And the Libra moon tomorrow and Wednesday till 3:44 Eastern time is lovely. And it ends with the trine to Neptune.
That in the middle of the night, yes?
Yep.
Tomorrow morning, though, over the night, so that Moon and Libra will conjunct Saturn and square Pluto. So if you're feeling a little heavy and burdened tonight, as Mercury also forms an inconjunct with Mars, we can be worried or just kind of got a lot on our mind doesn't want to shut up. Just really feel the heaviness of that and feel the worry for the people around the globe and send prayers to the people of Chile and Haiti and, you know, be with them in solidarity. But don't take that heaviness seriously. It probably is not your digestion or what your neighbor said yesterday or anything else. It's this existential, you know, feeling the seriousness of the world tonight.
Right, right. But the closing aspect is helpful because it's a trine to Neptune, mm-hmm. which is the sun will come out tomorrow, and that closing aspect takes place at 3:44 mm-hmm. on Wednesday Eastern Time, adjust for your local area, and it's a closing trine. So one of the things I've been talking to my clients about is re-imaging their mythology, that we are in a period of time where the myths, the belief systems that we've operated under and lived under for many, many years are undergoing radical change, where we're being asked to say, what's your vision for your future? What's your vision for your life? What do you want your country? You know, starting, you know, on the higher macro levels with the collective, and then on the smaller levels with, well, where are you going to work? What are you going to do? What's your vision? Well, if you, you know, your entire pension plan went down the tubes, what, how are you going to retire? The visioning is changing. Our paths are changing. The world is changing. We're in this big evolutionary moment right now, about to make a big leap. So what is your new myth? What's your new vision for yourself? And that trine to Neptune helps us form it. So kind of pay attention to what comes in over the next couple days about what you believe to be possible.
Right.
Huh?
And as that the moon trines Neptune, Venus is conjuncting Uranus.
Yes.
So you know you can't stay the same.
Yeah.
That Venus conjunct Uranus is emotionally restless as all get out. It puts the clutch in on our heart, and it wants something different, new, fresh. It's a great time to pitch new ideas. But watch out for the emotional restlessness with the feeling that someone new, you know, that your marriage is stuck. A new person will solve the problem. It won't. A new approach to your relationship issues might. So be careful to watch out for the illusion, because these planets and Neptune planets, with the Neptune aspects and the planets lining up in Neptune ruled Pisces, one of the things that we have to watch out for is magical thinking, that we think that we can solve all the problems with if we can just make one external change, that it's lovely to daydream, it's lovely to use our imagination right now, it's great to pray and to do ceremony and to bring in the magic. We cannot get out of our own emotional homework. And if we think one external thing will solve a problem, it is too good to be true. So use that Uranus-Venus conjunction to shift the gears and be willing to change. And you so put it so beautifully, look for a new myth. And as you were describing that, I kept thinking of the process of a fetus in evolution, in that every fetus goes through the various stages of evolution. But in order to dissolve, it forms a fish jaw, but then it has to dissolve those old pieces before it can form the next level of its evolution and before it can become human. And this is maybe a simplification of it, but as it's a lot of birth defects happen when the fetus gets stuck at one level of evolution and can't quite dissolve the old form so it can evolve into the next one. The enzymes that would dissolve the old form get stuck. So I think that right now that sometimes we can feel the old forms of our life dissolving, and it's hard to not identify with those old forms and just say, oh my goodness, I'm dissolving. But no, it's the old form is dissolving because the components are needed for a new phase of our life. Can we hold on to that issue?
Right, and hold on to that image, yeah. So the void moon, big void moon, between 3:44 and 9:11 on Eastern Time. There's going to be a lot of long void moons because a lot of the planets are in new signs at the beginning of the sign. So what that means is the moon takes a break. And when the moon takes a break, we're supposed to, too. Now, it doesn't mean you're necessarily going to take a break, but it is a very creative time for daydreaming and imaging and thinking about things. And because we are in the process of coming up with this new mythology for ourselves and our lives, and it doesn't mean you have to throw out all your myths, but you have to kind of say, well, my dream for myself is this. My dream for myself is this. This other part works great. I like that. Let me keep that. But this other part that isn't working so well, my dream for myself is that. And the dream is the way we sing to our soul to give it a voice. We give our soul a voice when we dream. And so void moon times are really big times for the dreams to come through us. I often find when I do a reading on a void moon, it's very much about the person's vision or dream for themselves. It tends to be a more spiritual reading because the moon's on vacation and we're all supposed to rest. And if you don't rest, the universe wants you to rest. So there'll be flight delays, there'll be rain delays, there'll be things that slow you down because you're supposed to just go a little slower and float with time, float on the ocean and the sea. Then the moon goes into Scorpio on the evening of the 3rd, and it's in Scorpio Thursday, Friday, and it goes void at 11:30 at night on Friday night, again with a lovely closing aspect, this time a trine to Venus. So the moon in Scorpio, passionate, 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 trines Venus in Pisces in her exaltation, right after she's had her little encounter with Uranus saying, shake it free, baby. Come up with a new vision. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of aspects on Thursday and Friday. Why don't you tell them what's going on in their they can expect in their life?
You get the Venus Mars trine, which is just amping up all the emotional energy in the process.
Yes. Making everything juicy and delicious.
Making everything juicy and delicious, and that Venus in Aries is maybe less sensual than Venus in Pisces, and maybe a little less romantic. It wants to be independent, but it's very passionate about whatever it actually is willing to engage.
Right, but she's still in Pisces because her closing aspect's a trine with the moon in Scorpio.
Right.
Yeah, she goes into Aries on.
She heads into Aries on the
7th. On Saturday, yeah. On the Sunday, mm-hmm. Sunday, yep.
On the 5th, she's still in Scorpio, and just some kind of tough aspects on the 5th, where she just, the moon semi-squares both Saturn and Pluto, and just feels out of sorts in the evening. In the morning, she's still got a nice trine to the sun, so it's kind of emotional, awash. You've got the moon adding on to the five planets and water signs. No objectivity whatsoever. You can listen to the politics and you'll be hearing pointed commentary, self-protective, and in that this whole week it's been very easy to sort the facts that we hear or express, and you again will see this in the news. And we develop a theory or we get emotionally attached to something and we tend to sort the facts to notice the ones that support our theory and let go of the ones that don't. Objectivity will not be easy to come by. So remember that if you're starting to feel very attached to something, but you may just feel attached and it's hard to see clearly then. On Saturday, we've got some slightly difficult aspect to the sun between sun and Mars, but the moon starts off feeling nice and fuzzy and soft in the morning as the moon squares Neptune and then trines Venus and Mars in the afternoons. But I have a grand trine with the moon, Venus, and Mars in fire signs as the moon enters Sagittarius. If you have time to go out and party on Saturday night, dance the night away. Now, Sunday morning, we wake up with the moon square Mercury and Jupiter and the sun, feeling a little hungover or a little tired after last night, or paying for what we said, as a grand trine in water signs may spout off what it has been wanting to say for a while, saying it with great vim and vigor and wondering why people respond with difficulty. So we may have to pay for that on Sunday morning if we're not careful on Saturday afternoon. But it feels like on the 6th, it's just a logjam releases and a chance to really express movement in a way that we might not have been able to before.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. And then we culminate the week with the moon in Sagittarius, which also has a decent closing aspect. It's got a sextile to Neptune, which is the working dream. So we've got sextile trines to easy planets, which can be a little overblown because they are planets where we can not necessarily see the problems. But, you know, when you first fall in love with something, you don't always see the problems. You see the thing you fell in love with. So it's a week to fall in love in the sense of what your vision for you is. And with all the Neptune, you're supposed to see the world a little bit with rose-colored glasses. You're not necessarily supposed to know how to do it all, but you have that sense of needing to merge, needing to connect, needing to relate on a deeper level, because Neptune wants to have that connection with divine. It wants to have that connection with your spirit soul. It wants you to go and, you know, if you think about like when you've ever walked along an ocean and the sense, the ions, the smell, the movement, the rhythmic sound, where you connect on a level to your being. And there's a lot of that wanting to happen this week. So take some time if you can and give yourself the space. And then notice what you get annoyed at and know that that was what you need to work on once Mars goes direct. And then notice what else comes up after you've gotten past the annoyed, because annoyed is going to be first. And then what's behind the annoyed? What's the dream? What's feeling like it's being blocked that you want to go towards? And that's something to really pay attention to. So we have a couple callers. You ready to take some? Or
okay.
Do you have anything else you want to add about the week?
Nope, let's take it on from there.
All right, cool. New callers. All right. Hello, 718. Did I get you up? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, 718. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, I am? Great.
Yep.
Should I give you my birthday?
Yeah, did you have a question or did you want to?
Yeah, I have a question. I wanted to know, because I know that we were talking about hopes and dreams before, and I've been jotting them down, and I just wanted to see where, like, to make some extra money along the way.
Okay.
Okay, so what's your birth date? And
January 24th, 1984, at approximately 3:47 p.m.,
where?
In New York City.
New York, New York.
Mm-hmm.
So hopes and dreams for January 24th, 1984, 3:47 p.m., where to make some extra money. Okay.
I took some modeling photos, but I'm not sure if that's actually going to get me anywhere. I haven't gone to the open calls.
You haven't what?
I haven't gone to any open calls. I just did my headshots.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, you've got such very good business sense. I could almost see you running the modeling agency before I saw you as a model. You've got, actually, you're very good at giving other people business advice. I see you with, and again, what year were you born? Let me just confirm my birth.
1984.
If I was right, you've got the Mercury-Jupiter conjunct in Saturn, in Capricorn, with Neptune in the sixth house of work. So you have, you know, you're really, you see how they should be running the modeling agency. You're a good manager, and you're good at handling groups of people. You're good in the business. I mean, that doesn't mean you wouldn't be, you know, a great way to make a little extra money along the side. But tell me more about what are your dreams? Because your dream isn't to make a little extra money. Your dream is to have good, solid work.
Yes. I don't know exactly where I want to go right now. That's why I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I want to own my own business eventually and run something. And just right now, I'm just thinking, because of my financial situation, I'm just trying to think of a way to make some extra money on the side. Right now I do accounting. And I don't
the accounting,
it's boring.
Boring. But the idea of, because you've got the sun in the seventh house, you work well with very big personalities. You work well, like you'd be really good assistant to the person running the modeling agency until you're ready to run it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a person in the accounting, but someone who's good at handling whatever comes up. That, you know, that accounting or bookkeeping is only a small part of your job, but you are making things happen. And it's a little easier for you if you've got another person running point. Like, it's their business at the beginning. You know, in a few more years, you'll want to run your own. But see how you can be a support person to someone who is creative, doing interesting work that you would like to do. And that way you also get to apprentice. Like, they're running the business. How do you help them run the business? Not just in accounting, but help them run the business. And that way you're, one, you're earning money. Two, you're becoming invaluable to them, so you get paid better and better.
Okay.
And three, you are apprenticing on how to run a business because you're going to do that someday.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
I have one more question. It's kind of like a love
mm-hmm.
question.
Mm-hmm.
I had come out of a relationship, and now I'm seeing someone, and I'm kind of interested in them, but I don't know if it's going to mm-hmm. go anywhere. And my ex-boyfriend, I guess because of the snowstorm, I haven't heard from him in weeks, and he sent me an email kind of like, mm-hmm. I hope all is well, please be careful, because there was a snowstorm
mm-hmm.
on Friday.
Right, the one that closed the city down.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where that's going. Like, my heart is still with him, but I kind of feel like
the old one
that mm-hmm. should be closed, you know.
When did you break up with him?
Mid-September.
Okay. And why did you break up with him?
He broke up with me.
Oh, he broke up with you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He broke up with me because he felt like we weren't going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And we were together for close to 5 years.
Okay. And what did you feel about where the relationship was going?
I felt like it wasn't going anywhere, but I was, like, emotionally attached to him,
mm-hmm.
and I was constantly trying to make it better.
Yeah, yeah. You were ready to try and make it better.
You two are family. You're more like brothers and sisters or, you know, beloveds, but not really partners.
Mm.
You know, it's like you knew each other in other lifetimes rather than you're really here to be together this lifetime.
I do feel like I've known him before.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we have this weird connection.
Venus, your progressed Venus is coming up to conjunct your Sun in the house of partnership. And look, that looks like about 4 years from now, 3 to 4 years from now. So don't worry about finding the perfect partner for the next 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
You know, you're practicing relationship. You're learning how to be in a good relationship. So don't worry about where it's going. Worry about, am I being clear and clean in this relationship? Am I learning how to ask for what I want? Am I practicing good relationship skills? Now, it may be that that relationship will then become your partnership, but you won't really know it one way or the other for a few years. And when you do, you know, you're going to partner beautifully.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
It does very well in partners. Yep.
Hmm.
And with the nodes going through the seventh, releasing partner, it's not a bad time to have let him go. Or he let you go, you let him go. Because this next chunk mm-hmm. is about you figuring out your work.
Mm-hmm.
And then once mm-hmm. that finishes, then you kind of enter into another phase about relationships. I would say it looks like your progressed moon gets to your natal moon reasonably soon. So that can also, because you are a Cancer rising, that can also bring in a family relationship kind of person. And that's about 17 months. So I think this time is really for you to figure out your work. And then in terms of making money, you know, the Sun rules your second house. You can make money you can sell snowmen to Eskimos. This is a chart that's very good at figuring out how to make money, and I wouldn't worry about it. I would just follow your creative ideas. So if the creative idea was, okay, do modeling, try doing that for a little while, and the creative idea that comes in behind that is whatever, because your chart has very good intuition about how to move things, because your Mars and your Pluto are joined, and the hardest thing for you is getting it started. So once you get it started, always look around to do the hardest thing. Once you've done that, then it should take off in about 6.5, 6.75 days, months, weeks, because Mars and Pluto are joined, and Mars rules your midheaven. So you've got a really good instinct for creative work with your chart.
Mm-hmm.
So I would also, if a creative idea comes in, even if people go, well, why would you do that? You go, well, you know, I just had a good feeling about it. Follow up on it, because in your case, that intuition is very strong because it's joined to the moon.
I've been wanting to do something in real estate lately, like trying to join into like a venture with my mother or something, and doing something in real estate and even like mortgages or something.
Yeah, I would definitely, your chart can do very well in partnership with real estate for sure, like renting apartments to people and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
You've got nice aspects. You've got a lot of planets in Capricorn, which is money through Earth, and you have money through people. So rent and earth work together. People and earth, you know, like mm-hmm. having a building that you rent them is, would totally create money. But I wouldn't worry. I think you just have to kind of follow your instincts and go and do it, because once you're focused and running, your chart gets stuff accomplished. And you have a little fear of commitment there, so don't be afraid to commit to it and recognize if you don't like it, you can always sell it to someone, okay? Your job is to start it, get it off the ground, and then when you're done or bored or not interested anymore, sell it and move on to the next thing, because this chart's got a lot of potential for making very decent money, actually.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Bye. All right. Let's hang up that one and try the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, are you there, 212?
Hi there. Yes, Annie.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Questions?
I'm good. My friend Barbara gave birth to her daughter finally. Hi.
Is this Annie?
Yes, Annie.
Hi, Annie.
Oh, buddy from long ago.
We have Vivian.
Vivian, O'Mara, March 1st.
And March, and I just looked it on.
The time of her birth was 23:48, meaning 11:48, their time in Munich, Germany. So like 5 hours ago or something like that.
Okay.
That's wonderful. So what's March 1st?
March 1st, Munich, Germany, right before midnight. Okay.
Yes.
Very
good. Right before midnight. So we have a Pisces with a Moon Virgo and a Scorpio rising.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Last degree of Virgo, Moon. This is an old soul coming in. And with the Sun-Jupiter conjunction, she is, a larger-than-life personality.
Oh.
Quite creative, very intuitive, with the Sun-Venus conjunction and the Sun-Jupiter conjunction, the Venus-Uranus conjunction, all in the fourth house. And her quite intuitive with the Mercury only 4 degrees away from Chiron and Neptune.
I'm not writing all this down.
That's okay. And
well, it's recorded.
I know. I'm going to give Barbara the whole email thing so that she can listen to it herself.
Great.
And she's a serious girl. I mean, mom works very hard. She came in to watch her mother love her work. So it's going to be very important that her mother not give up what she loves to do.
She's a jazz guitar.
That she gets to see her mother love her work, and that her mother passes on to her that hard work and creativity go together to make something beautiful.
Her father is a jazz guitarist as well, both of them. So this is going to be interesting. Hard work.
I wonder if she has a loaded fourth house. Yeah.
Loaded fourth house?
Fourth house is the family story. She's coming in with a very long generational line where she's inherited from the family of origin her creative gifts.
Cool.
So if both of the parents are artists or musicians, she's coming in to watch them do that work and then to move it to her level, which, you know, is very strong with her. She's got very gifted fingers with the Moon in Virgo and Saturn in Libra high. So she's got whatever happens with her fingering, you know, they are guitarists or pianists or some energy around the hands.
Hand healing. I mean, she also do hands-on healing. With her Moon and Saturn, with the symbols of the mother and the symbol of the father in the house of career, she's going to both be fascinated by her parents' career, but it's going to be a little tricky for her to find herself, you know, to be able to see herself beyond her parents. So she's going to need some time later on in her life, you know, have them call us in 10 years, where she's finding herself away from her parents she's going to love her parents and they're these big personalities. But first she's here to be fascinated by her family's friends, because that the family brings their friends home and they all play music home together when that was looking at that fourth house, and to be fascinated by watching her parents love their work. First she gets that, and then she can take it on and find her own way of doing it.
Right. Oh, wonderful.
Find your own energy. Yeah, and she's got a very strong nodal connection with the family of origin, mm-hmm. too, because the nodes are in Cancer Capricorn. And again, tied to the sibling house on some level, but also to the talents and skills. So she's the firstborn?
She's the only born. She's probably going to be the only born, actually, because Barbara's in her late 30s, I think.
Okay.
She was born in 68. I've got her. In fact, I was going to ask you about Barbara originally. This was my original idea the other day. Mm-hmm. She's an Aquarius herself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that mom's described as a Venus Aquarius. You know, the
one
Venus
of the things that we look at how she perceives her mom. Her mom has to be not so hard on herself in front of her daughter.
Good idea.
If her mom can, with that moon in Virgo, that she tends to see her mom, you know, always, and her mom may tend to feel a little guilty because she's so focused on her work that she's trying to be a great mother rather than relaxing and knowing that being a mother is a lot like being a guitarist. You know, you just have to play the moment, improvise with what you've got, and trust yourself. Mm-hmm. And she can let herself do that. Then she will learn that there's a difference between always improving yourself and being hard on yourself.
Right.
And if her mom can help her always improve on herself but not be hard on herself, then she'll have passed on the best of the Virgo moon legacy.
All right.
Yeah, and it's a lovely when she gets upset,
mm-hmm.
music, water, dance, fluid, you know, put her in a bath.
Uh-huh.
Give her, play music for her, have her move her body, dance. She's also a very absorptive little child, meaning
mm-hmm.
she'll pick up the energy of people. And sometimes, especially when they're little, they don't know it's not theirs because they kind of absorb it like a little sponge. So you want to teach her how to ground herself in the sense of, oh, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Let me stick, you know, we were talking earlier about people feeling flooded and overwhelmed by the energy because there's so much energy in Pisces right now. So in her case, like sticking her hands in water or swimming or doing things that are fluid where she's allowed to move and release the energy into the world, that will be very helpful for her as a mood modulator because she is really absorptive.
I'll tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara kept telling me about how active she was in the womb.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was all over the place,
mm-hmm.
keeping her up at night.
And
she may
also be prone to colic.
Okay.
Her stomach will definitely be the place that she will show nerves. And that's where a nice hot bath and relaxing friendly and just, you know, laughing, that instead of her mother worrying about her daughter's stomach, if her mother can relax and provide just fun and joy around her, the baby's stomach will relax.
Okay, colic.
But, Virgo moon babies are prone to colic or just prone to sensitive stomachs, and don't take it personally.
Yeah, sometimes allergies too, like a celiac or a allergic to flowers. So just kind of pay attention if she feeds her and then the child reacts.
Uh-huh.
You know, like that, you know, she's a real sensitive, she has a very sensitive system.
Okay.
You know, because she's really just water. You know, when you think about a glass on the table versus a piece of pie versus a candle, you know, when you wiggle the table, the water is what moves.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of water in her chart.
Right.
So we want to, you know, ground that water and hold it and contain it. But, yeah.
Heather, do you think you could write it all out and just send it to me?
No.
You know, so that I can just send it to Barbara? I'm sorry?
I can't write it all out. But
I didn't mean that.
Print out. Oh, sure. I can, if you send me an email, because when I'm off air, it'll be stored in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
If you send me an email, I will get a printout, I'll do a computer printout for you to send to her gladly.
Right. That was all I was meaning.
Happily.
Okay. Birthday present, so to speak.
Yes. Here you are on Earth, lovely Vivian.
Yes.
And Vivian
welcome,
is
Vivian.
Vital.
Great
you know,
name.
It's a very vital name. Yep.
Oh, I'll tell her that, too.
Yeah. Very cool.
So
lucky child with the Sun Jupiter.
Oh, good.
And she'll probably live abroad or live away from home.
Oh, maybe she'll come visit me.
Yeah. Because Leo rules the name.
Actually, Barbara comes to New York to play every once in a while.
Okay.
And I don't know about Peter, but... mm-hmm. Barbara comes and stays with me sometimes. Anyway.
Very cool.
Have to
citizen of the world.
Bring it. Yes. Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
Yeah, great pleasure, Annie.
Okay, talk to you. Bye-bye.
You're a good aunt. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, cool. Very nice. All right, forward we go. And again, our number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. Very cool. So any comments you would like to offer our listeners before the show comes? We've got 9 minutes left till the end.
Okay, going on to that, thinking about how that we were talking to the little baby about tapping into the musical lineage that it comes from. It is really nice right now that if we can get a hold of our art supplies, tap into our music, listen to our muse, that the Virgo side, the organization, can anchor us and help us feel less awash. But to really tap into this art right now, we're feeling so steeped in to the collective mindset, to the archetypal mind, that to soak it up and express it in any creative form we have is a real gift. And so if you're all creatively prone, pull out your art supplies, pull out your leotard, pull out whatever you do and do it. The other piece that I would say with that is that, you know, you mentioned how permeable and absorptive we are right now. It's a great time to go spend time around people that are doing something that you want to do. If you want to learn how to meditate, go sit at the Zen Center, and being around other people that are meditating will take your meditation to a much deeper level. If you want to be a great astrologer, go hang out with the astrologers and watch how much the conversation's good, but just the mindset that we start to absorb it, you know. If you're a chameleon and you want to be purple, go stand next to purple people. And that right now we're all a little chameleon-like. And those of us that are intuitive and psychic to begin with are really smushy. So it's very helpful for us to notice what we're standing next to and soak that up. And to remember that if we notice that we're soaking up something that we don't like, and we can say, oh, look, an example, my Pisces moon daughter, I had a bad tooth a week ago, and my daughter called up and said, when she'd heard that I was on Facebook that I had a bad tooth, she goes, which tooth is it? I thought, oh, what do you mean, which tooth? I said, which tooth is it? I told her which tooth it was. She goes, I know it. That tooth started bothering me for no reason. And here she was 2,000 miles away, and she was feeling my bad tooth. But the minute she identified it, that that was not her toothache, that was my toothache that she was tuning into, she could let it go. It naturally lets go. So that if you start feeling a feeling that you're not sure about, that does not feel like yours, look around, see who else's it is, realize that it may be there just for diagnosis, and that you don't have to own it. You can feel it and release it. If you suddenly get a headache out of nowhere, ask who's got a headache. And once you begin to see that it probably isn't yours, it will suddenly evaporate. And that with that, when we feel these feelings, you know, who else is feeling them? I had several clients that felt very shook up. They called me up, I'm feeling so shook up this morning. And they were fine. Their life was fine. But that was the morning of the Chilean earthquake. And they could just feel the shaking, but they had no name for it. Once they realized that that may have been what they were tuning into, they began to feel more firm underneath them. So if you start feeling emotions that aren't, you ask, first ask the people in the area and then look at the headlines and see, what am I soaking up and how can I choose to do that differently? In return, we can send our prayers back in. It feels like a very powerful time for prayer work, visualizing, meditation, any work on that magical part, that we can put our intuition into the system by, you know, not only do we soak up their experience, but we can put in ours or our hopes for them or our dreams for them or our support for them right now. And what are you seeing?
I think we forget, you know, how interconnected we really are. You know, one of the things at the astrology conference this week was that, you know, they were talking about the interconnectedness, and the physicists are realizing that everything talks to everything else, which is kind of the premise of astrology. It's not that we necessarily say the planets cause things to happen to us, but we say, you know, look at the correspondences, as above, so below, as without, so within. And so part of that journey of connecting to things is when there isn't a name for it, or there's a feeling, but there's no words for it. Because Mercury is in the sign of water now, and he has no words when he's in water. He's moved from being very articulate when he was in Aquarius, which he loves. He's flying 20,000 feet. He sees everything really crystal clear, like you do from an airplane. And he goes, ah, so fabulous. And now he's in the ocean. And he's like, I don't have words. And even if I did have words, I don't know what I would say. So it's not a time for words. But it is a time for feelings. And in those feelings, recognizing the interconnectedness of it. I think the imagery of your daughter's toothache was very cool. And the other thing, they had different lecturers, and one of the guys said something which I thought was gorgeous. It was that all the pain is the pain of giving birth, which apparently is a quote from Nietzsche. But all pain is the pain of giving birth. And so if in this Mars stationing energy you're feeling pain, kind of, you know, hold it. And you know how they teach you the breathing exercises when you're giving birth, and they teach you, you know, the process of releasing it and understanding that there's a peak to it, that it kind of comes up and then it gets to the height and then it drifts down. And that you're in the process now of giving birth to a new you with the Mars stopping, because he's going to be pushing on something, really pushing, because he's also going to be aspecting Saturn, and he's going to be aspecting Pluto. And he's aspecting Pluto in kind of a cranky way, but he's aspecting, and that's not right now, but he is really aspecting Saturn, and he's also aspecting Mercury. So he's in, Mars is in fire, saying, grab it, move it, but no way, I can't, I can't move. And Saturn's saying, partner, but no, it's not really time yet to partner. And Mercury's going, I don't really have words for this. I'm feeling all this, but I don't have words. So there's three planets talking to each other, kind of and they're all disagreeing. So what you have to do when that happens is you have to kind of say, okay, quiet. All right, on the count of three, we lift. And everybody lifts at three, and you move a little bit, and then you put it down. It's very much a week about living in the moment and recognizing that, you know, the same way you're trying to move a heavy piece of furniture and three people are on different ends, you have to coordinate the effort. Say, okay, count of three, pick and lift. And then if it's really heavy, you can rest. And then go, okay, count of three, pick and lift. Okay, rest. It doesn't have to be a go, go, go kind of week, because Mars is stopped. And
all the planets are in Pisces.
And all the planets are in Pisces that are saying mañana, you know, not to worry. Next week you're going to be busy.
Like to read it.
Yeah.
It is. It's very swamp-like.
Yeah. We love swamps. Swamps have a wonderful purpose. And so get your boots out.
And it could be the swamp. You know, here I am in having come down to the south of Minneapolis, down from frozen North Dakota, where we still have 3.5 feet of snow on the ground on the flat. And the snow is melting here, and it's beautiful, but everything is running, soaking wet. Sometimes when things melt, they become swamp-like.
Right.
So keep yourself grounded and healthy and solid in this year, in this week.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to know more about the work that we do, you can go to astronyc.com and see more about how to reach either one of us for a personal reading or more about our approach to astrology in general. And for the rest of the week, this is Heather Rowan Robbins signing out for Access Astrology from Minneapolis. And Anne?
Ortley, signing out from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
And we send a hug to Mark Wolf, who is
commuting
on the bus.
Right on the Bolt bus right now. Bolting from Boston to New York. So
and
it's a good thing.
Will be with us next week. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do the Bolt bus this weekend. I'm, like, very excited about it. I'm going down to Philly for the flower show. So it should be absolutely gorgeous. So everybody have
going up.
Yes, I know we're going to go look at flowers and go, ooh, ooh, spring is coming. Okay, so everybody have a great week. Remember, blocked, blocked, blocked is Mars. So don't take it personally. Mm-hmm. Notice the anger. Don't go after people. Just kind of sit in it and go, oh, yeah, I do want to punch your face out, but I'm not going to. And be understand that what it's bringing up is stuff for you to clear. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So have a good week. And Heather, you have a good week.
And yes, I will, and all of us. Take care. Many blessings to all.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.